Well, I want to introduce the panel. I know you, some of y'all know them. Sitting right next to me is Mike Schatz. He is the Chief Relationship Officer at 5x5, which is a marketing company. Man, you got the coolest title, Relationship Officer. Kind of, yeah. So Mike has, he's got a lot of experience, deep marketing experience, and 5x5 is a great firm. They do so much good. They've helped so many, not just businesses, but even nonprofits. And one of the things I like about Mike is that when you are talking to Mike, he's all there. And I can see why they have you fulfilling that role. I know you've got to do a lot more than that, but we're glad you're here today. And then this is Bill Seaver sitting next to Mike. And Bill, I knew Bill first as a self-employed entrepreneur, consultant, helping all kinds of companies do different things, marketing strategies. And now he is the CEO and co-owner of TechnoAid, and which is a, these guys are a manufacturer for healthcare. I'm blanking out here.
I was going to let you, I was going to see where you went with that.
I should look at my notes. It's all right here.
Radiation protection.
Radiology. Yes. There you go. Thank you. So I do know Mike, though. Really, I do. And sitting next to Mike, to Bill, is Olivia. This is a rough afternoon. I didn't get enough lunch. This is Olivia Graham, and Olivia is a she leads the coaching team and helps develop the coaching products for Path for Growth. And I'm just now learning about Path for Growth. I've had a chance to have some good conversations with Olivia. What I love is that she speaks my love language because she loves small business. And so she helps a lot of small business leaders. And so we can, you need to learn more about that if that's something that interests you. So we're kind of wrapping up the day. You know, this morning, I was trying to cast a vision for how incredible God has literally laid out the entire framework for business right there in Genesis, and how there's so much, we have so much purpose, and that should inspire us. And, you know, we've just been hanging out with each other, and that builds our faith up, and it's exciting and it's great. But money's going to roll around, and money's going to come, and we got to get up and go back to work. And as we all know, we live and work in a broken marketplace. It's broken. It's fallen. And so what we really want to do is sort of close this conference with some real talk. I want to say real talk about how do you navigate the realities of a broken marketplace. I'm looking out here. I'm seeing you. I know many of you, what circumstances you're living in. I know some of y'all have really difficult situations in your companies in terms of the leadership. I know some of y'all have some major just like business challenges you're trying to work through. And it's like, if we could just get together and pray and then go out and do our thing, it'd be great. But then there's all these people around and they're broken. Oh, by the way, we're broken too, which really makes it tough. So what we're going to do is have a conversation about that. So what I want to do is, so we can kind of get to know y'all, is why don't y'all just share, like, what do you love most about your business, and what is it that sucks the joy out of your business? So go ahead. Jump in there. Livia, you want to start us?
I'd love to. So our mission is we help impact-driven leaders step into who they were created to be so that others benefit and God is glorified. And there's so much I could unpack there that I love about our business. But specifically, I love, we'll start with the impact-driven leaders, because that's who I'm speaking to in this room. Like, you don't spend your Saturday diving into the topics that we are diving into if you don't want to make a difference. And so much of the work that I get to do, and I'm privileged to work alongside a team that gets to do, is to equip impact-driven leaders in their businesses to make as much of an impact as they can to serve their team so that God is glorified.
Great. And then what about what sucks the joy out of that?
Yeah, so we talked about this week is we have a membership-based business, and with that comes churn. So people leave our product. And that's always hard for a number of reasons. But when it's particularly challenging is when you feel like you're working with someone and you could have done more. Mm. And it's particularly challenging when the brokenness that you're referring to is coming into play. And it's, well, the reason that I have to leave is because, you know, I'm having problems with my marriage, or I'm having problems with my business partner, or, you know, I wasn't faithful in my finances and I've majorly fudged numbers and I can't afford this anymore. And so those kinds of things hit differently because you realize that it's the brokenness of this world that's getting in the way of their impact in some ways.
Thank you. Bill?
Yeah. So I love to see plans come together, which sounds like an A-Team reference from the 80s. But I really like, whether it's strategy or something with people, when that begins to come together, when you see the fruit of those plans begin to really begin to pay off, that to me, that makes all the pain and suffering and the time, you know, really, really worth it. And then what takes joy for me is a lack of momentum. I have learned something about myself that I am a momentum junkie, and not in the, like, I go jump out of airplanes type of momentum or that type. It's more like I need to see momentum in work, in professionally. And to me, there is nothing more frustrating than the lack of momentum. I think of it as sitting in a still lake in a sailboat with no wind, and you are just dead in the water. And that is infuriating to me. And so often I will start to metaphorically blow the sail, if that's what needs to happen, to just generate something.
How's that working for you?
That's not awesome. and so, but that's what I've learned. And so I am regularly trying to think through when momentum dies, what killed it, and begin to seek how momentum can be restored.
Great. Mike.
Hey, am I on?
You're
on. Yes, I'm on. Good. I'm fortunate. We have, when we started the company, we started with the idea that we wanted to serve change makers, and we've stayed there. So what I love about the business is we get to serve those types of people, those types of organizations. And a change maker is an organization that a lot of times is a nonprofit, sometimes they're for profit for good, and a lot of them are healthcare as well. All of them are doing, I just call, good in the world. Some of them are kingdom people, and some of them are just people that just want to do good. And so it's so fun to be able to be an organization, a marketing agency that can help them figure out how do they reach their customer, how do they clarify their brand, how do they do what they do better so they get more customers, more clients, more patients, whatever it may be. Super fulfilling. They're the hero. We're behind the scenes, but we get a little bit kind of a vicarious experience when we know they've done something that's helped them to do better, more good. It's really very fulfilling. Not easy, not challenge, not simple, but which gets to the suck part, right? The suck part is that we are like, you're a momentum junkie. We are expectations junkies. We want expectations to be met. And we're pretty good at it. We've done a lot of good things over the years, and we've been able to meet a lot of expectations, but every once in a while we don't. And sometimes it's our fault, and sometimes it's the client's service or product just isn't catching on. And I've not met a creator yet that doesn't believe their product is the best thing in the world, so it's hard to have those kind of conversations when the marketplace just isn't accepting your product.
Easy now, we're sensitive people.
I know. So I'm being very sensitive right now. But the meeting expectations is really frustrating, and it's especially frustrating if we know we made a mistake and we couldn't help them, or we did something wrong. But that'd be the sucky part.
Love hearing that from each one of you. You know, we started out talking about this whole idea of, like, it's so encouraging when we see God at work and he's inspiring us to do great things and we see his purposes being fulfilled. And then we deal with all the brokenness. Talk to us about, how do you process that? How do you frame up knowing I live in a broken world? I'm doing business in a fallen marketplace. How do you frame that up? How do you think about that as you navigate it?
Yeah, so just for context, I work in manufacturing. So it's good old-fashioned American manufacturing. We just happen to serve the healthcare industry with our products, but it's blue collar plant, you know, type folk, and then management and marketing and sales and that kind of thing. So we see brokenness in every form. Until I had this job, I had not been around sort of the more hourly worker, plant worker type employee, and so that's been a journey over the last 5 years. That's been really interesting as well. And so there are different challenges that I've seen with different economic levels, different levels of education, and professionalism. But what is a constant throughout all of that is that I cannot expect non-Christians to act like Christians. And I can't put that on them. And so that in and of itself becomes clarifying with my own set of expectations for anybody I work with. If I have a sense that they are probably not a Christian, am I navigating that conversation with them or whatever the situation may be appropriately? And then I expect Christians to act like Christians. I know that's asking a lot sometimes, but I do. And so my co-owner in the company and vice president of our company goes to church with me. We go to church together and have for 10, 11 years now. I have a different set of expectations for him because of that. And it's great. It brings a common vernacular there, but I think we are navigating our business and our segment of the broken world. In light of that.
So I think that's a real interesting thing to think about. Sometimes we as believers expect non-believers to act differently. I'd love to hear Mike and Olivia if y'all want to chime in on that. Do you see the same thing?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. It's an interesting story because I believe business is super personal, and people say that's just business. And we've seen it on different fronts. And one of my business partners is here, Josh. And so we've had a number of years ago experience, names will be left out, where we saw an organization that you probably would know, and they did something really just terrible in terms of the founder leader being pushed out, kicked out of the organization in the most probably dishonorable way that I've ever seen. And we all looked at each other like, how could that possibly be a Christian organization on top of that? And we were really frustrated by it, saddened by it. But they were also our biggest client at the time.
Wow.
So money meets principle, right? So we heard what happened. We understood the context of what happened, and then we had a choice to make. Do we stay with the organization and continue to get the pay that we were getting used to? We were small. That meant a lot to us still. We still are small. Or do we go with what we think is right, and that's to really kind of hook our wagon to the guy that we think is in the right? And he was actually going out, and there was no promise. We weren't going to go out and get this. He had a new company he was going to. We just, in our heart, felt like we couldn't stay hooked up with these folks, the way they were operating. And so we got together as partners and said, what do you want to do? And we said, let's move on. It was scary. It was a scary moment, right, Josh? We were sitting there going like, you think we're probably not going to get any payoff of this. But we felt in our heart that was the right thing to do. We felt that it was convicted of our hearts. So it is rubber met the road there. And I will say this doesn't always happen, right, David? But years go by, and this person ends up somewhere, and we do get hired, and it was better than it ever was before. So I don't think that God always blesses you immediately with those types of things. Don't get me, but I think sometimes He does.
Yeah, that's great. Any thoughts on as we think about how do you navigate this, Olivia? Just knowing that you're in this broken, there's brokenness all around us.
So first of all, the only way that I can tactfully navigated is to immerse myself in scripture, because brokenness is not new and it's not exclusive to me in my business.
Right.
And I think about, Jesus, when he is with the disciples at the Last Supper and he's talking to them before he goes and gets crucified, and he says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. Like, I've told you I'm going to go get brutally murdered so that you may have peace. in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. And so I think it's just framing the perspective of the brokenness that I'm experiencing through the bigger picture lens of the gospel is honestly the only way that I know how to get past some of the brokenness that you deal with in business.
I love that. I think the idea that, you know, we think about we're navigating this brokenness and we're trying to do the right things. I mean, you know, having peace, we need peace. And that's something that is promised to us as believers. And that's a great thought. You know, I think, I don't know what y'all think. I think peace is very attractive to all people.
And to comment on what you were saying about expecting non-Christians to act like Christians, something that I always have to remind myself is that unmet expectations are front-loaded resentments. Mm. And so then realizing, like, I'm resenting you for not living to a standard that you don't even believe in.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's good.
But how often do we do that? Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm going to give you a visual here. And I'll ask you this question. How do you remain on the road of encouragement and hope? Okay, we're on a road, encouragement and hope, without falling into a ditch, either on the one side, the ditch of disillusionment and discouragement, or on the other side, the ditch of denial. Can I get a witness in here? Does anybody track with what I'm saying here, right? So how do you navigate that? How do you remain on that road of encouragement and hope?
I'll take a shot at this one. I really enjoyed the last session where we were talking about some similar things that went on, the challenges of being in business and so forth. So, gosh, you know, I think, and I'm old enough now. I'll be 60 this year, which is amazing to think about. You wake up and you're 60 years old. So, you know, you learn things over time. You get beat up enough. We talked about failure. You know, all of us were talking earlier about the failure things and the failure muscles and the scars, they get better and it's easier to deal with things. So I'd say part of it, you know, just the part of being around long enough is you learn how to be resilient. And I don't think that human resilience is different than God's resilience, that he provides that peace you talk about, that provides the ability to come back from things. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of loss. You and I were talking about, I've lost a brother to a car accident. I've lost a sister. I've had a nephew murdered. I've lost a son. You know, those kind of things are heavy, heavy faith kickers, you know, things where you can throw in the towel. I've lost in business. I've lost a lot of money in business. We talked about some of those things. So I'm with you if you're in the zone of having lost something or are losing right now. And I've also come back from that. All those things are super dramatic and super painful. Yeah. So I think the idea that, you know, how do you keep it going? I think for me, it's been like, if I hadn't been investing in my faith early on, that when you lose your son, you're going like, where's God? Where's all the stuff? Why is he not answering my prayer? Where are you? Those kind of questions. If you hadn't had some kind of foundation, you have nothing to stand on. So I think that while things are good, I say invest in your faith. That's one of the things. And I think the other thing we talked about earlier, I heard the other panelists talking earlier, just having people around you, man. I'm telling you what, some of my toughest times, if I didn't have some brothers you were talking about, sister, if you're female, the people that can talk sanity to you when you're insane. People that can talk to you about real stuff and say, dude, you're not thinking straight. I know you're in pain, but you're not thinking straight, to help you. Without that support group, and I think that's the greatest thing about being a Christ follower. Man, I'm telling you what, I've been around people that just don't have that.
It's hard to imagine, isn't
it? I don't know how you make it. And so I absolutely know I wouldn't have made it without the right people around it. And I've often said, where are you, God? And then I go, oh, it's David. He's talking to me right now. It's the person that's on my floor cleaning my house, trying to be good to us to come back from the hospital because we're in pain. You know, that's there he is again. Mm. So I think that sometimes I don't hear God, but he's right in front of me. And I think that's
it's good. It's good.
I had a mentor who said it really well. Everybody needs to be a Timothy and a Paul. Mm. And so you need to be somebody who is a lifelong learner, who is being poured into by someone who is older, wiser, walked that road, can give you wisdom, advice, a kick in the pants. Everybody at every stage of life, no matter how old you are, needs to be a Timothy. On the same breath, you need to be a Paul. You need to be taking the strength that you have received and giving it outward for the service of others. You need to be thinking about something other than yourself and your own agenda. And really, the only way that I can see that you do that is through mentorship, pouring into other people. And so when you talk about disillusionment and despair, well, if you are faithfully pouring into both of those buckets on a consistent basis, that feels like not a foolproof way, but a pretty good way to keep yourself more in the middle of that spectrum.
And I love the idea that it's not just, we do need mentors, we do need people who are peers and pouring into us, but we need to be investing in others too. That's just part of this divine formula that we see in scripture, and it's hard to explain, but it's true. And so I love that. The idea that we're both receiving and we're investing is super important.
Yeah, and you know, you're setting this up with despair and denial, and trying to navigate this path. What I keep thinking about is sort of regardless of what has been going on professionally in my life or just life in general, is how big is my view of God at any given time? Because when God is big, and you remind yourself of who he says he is and what he can do, it puts a whole lot of things into perspective. And how can you be disillusioned when God is far bigger and more vast than that disillusionment? There's a perspective setting thing that happens there in your heart and in your mind. And how can you sort of, I think if denial begins to get into pride and arrogance and some of that, how can you be so proud when you put yourself up next to the creator of the universe? And there's a perspective setting thing that happens when you properly recognize how small you are, regardless of whatever you've accomplished in this life, and how big he is. And so whether we're going through seasons of pain or prosperity, keeping God big, reminding yourself that he is big and you aren't, and what happens in your heart as a result of that, I think makes an immense difference.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Keep God big. So there's a phrase that has been around the church forever and a day. It comes from John 17. It's this phrase we've all heard: you need to be in the world, but not of it. So I'm sitting here with not pastors, not missionaries. I'm sitting here with business leaders. I want to know what that means to you. I want to know, what are the implications of that for you?
Go for it, Cal, right? I love this one because I think the greatest thing about business is it puts you in the world.
Yeah. Yes.
You can't get around the things we've been talking about here, the people you have to deal with, and it's real. And you get, whether they're believers, non-believers, you're going to run into people, and you're going to have your chance to, I guess, see if you're worth your salt and how you share your faith or how you just example your faith. I went to a small Bible college when I was a first believer, and I was a terrible Bible college student. I lasted half a term. But I'd learned something while I was there. The president of the school had written this book called Lifestyle Evangelism. And I remember there was also a film series, which shows you how old I am again. But film series. But the film series opened up with him sitting in this bar, and which was a huge deal because they were just trying to figure out if they danced in schools back then. And so, but he was sitting at the bar. And he probably had a lemonade. But he was like, he said, if you're not putting yourself in a place where there's a few dams and hells in around you, then you're probably not in the right place. And I always thought about that in terms of like, if I want to be effective, I'm going to meet people, I'm going to see people, I have to be where they are. And so I'm around people now that are throwing F-bombs around now and then, and I'm glad that they feel comfortable doing that. Because I think in this world, you know, Christians, there's a lot of bad PR for people of faith right now. Terrible PR. We got a bad rap. And I got this picture outside of our office, Josh and I do, the big caricature picture, you know, with your big head, 10 times the size, you know, like you get at the carnival. And, you know, it makes, accentuates all the things, giant nose and all that stuff. But there's this, like, picture I have sometimes of what people think who Jesus is. Mm. I think part of our job is to say, that's not the right caricature who Christ is. So sometimes just being a regular person that can be okay with them and be okay with where they're at. I see a lot of nodding heads. You know who you are. And just hang with people and be people with them and lead well. And if someone calls you, like I got one friend that calls me a faith guy. That's all he thinks of me, as a faith guy. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Because we can have a cigar together and have good chats. And I think that's part of being in the world and not of it.
Yeah. I've got to say this because I tell my pastor this all the time. You know, I'm going to the front lines. I need you to build me up. I need you to get me ready. And so I come on Sundays and worship and I'm fed from the word. And so I'm ready to get back out there on the front lines. And I love that idea about, you know, you got to, you know, the whole forgetting the first part of that, you got to be in the world to have any kind of impact. Bill, Livia?
Yeah, so I think about you said in the world, but not of the world. The in the worldness is undeniable. We're in it. The of the worldness is a daily decision, hour by hour decision.
That's good.
And that immediately has me think about how is the fruit of the Spirit evident in, just pick one, in my day, in this hour, in this conversation, in the way I'm choosing to engage this customer who's maybe not pleasant. and is there love and peace and patience in there? That is a minute by minute or hourly, certainly daily decision of the worldness that we are choosing to either lean into or not. And it reminds me of, as I sort of think about how we handle situations and whether or not we're going to be of the world. David, I know you know this story, but before I got into manufacturing 5 years ago, I was a consultant for 11 years. And the company that I actually work for now had been a client of mine. And the owner and president at the time hired me and to do some work with him, and he ultimately hired me to work with another company of his. He didn't like some things I found about his other company that were, albeit true, he didn't like the truth of what it was, and ultimately basically said, I don't believe what you found about my company, but I want you to tell me all the people who said all these things that I don't believe to be true.
Ruh-roh.
And this is a company, it's not a Nashville company. I had spent 3 days with about 15 to 16 employees of this company, and in confidence, I had given my word that I would not reveal what they said because I thought we were there to solve problems, not out people and whatever they thought
about
the business.
You sound like a consultant.
And so that became the issue, and he ultimately said, well, I don't believe your findings, but I do have an interest in who said what. Will you hand that over to me? I said, no. He's like, no, really, you're handing that over to me. And I said, no, I'm really not handing it over to you. And he said, okay. He used some F-bombs himself, fired me on the spot, both with his business up in Minnesota and with one here in Nashville. So I lost 80% of my income within about a 3-minute phone call. And when you're self-employed and you lose 80% in 3 minutes, you'll feel that. Let's just say you'll feel that. You'll have some feelings about it.
Are you like an accountant or something?
So as I was sort of weighing through this and the inevitable conversation with my wife, hey, honey, I have a story for you. I talked to a friend of mine who's a pastor here in the area, and he said, Bill, you had an amazing You got to do some amazing things with that company in your couple years run with the Nashville company. And he said, I think you need to write a thank you note to this guy. Interesting. And I said, I hate that idea, but I can't help but think you're actually right. And so that afternoon, mere hours after having had been fired twice, I wrote this note, mailed it off to the guy, and a week and a half later, I got a letter back, and he just said, hey, that was a classy thing to do. We'll consider this something we're not going to talk about anymore. Now, this is a guy who has fired a lot of people. He has F-bombed his way through life. And I guess that was not what he was accustomed to. And I look back at that as a way to say, I think I felt wronged. I felt like I was trying to do the honorable thing. And the worldliest way to have gone about that was to think a lot of things, say a lot of things, talk bad about him inevitably to my friends and everybody who would conspire with me about how wronged I had been, and just go on and figure out later on how bitter I am, you know, about that whole thing. And that didn't happen. And what's interesting now is that thank you note, and just trying to do the right thing as somebody who is in the world, but really trying to not be of the world, was that thank you note led to him reaching out to me 3 years later, which would have never happened otherwise, to I walk into a breakfast meeting with him, having not talked to him since the thank you note situation, and I walk out of that breakfast, and he wants me now to be the president of his company, and now 5 years later, I own half the company, and he's not even around.
Wow, that's it.
And so it went from consultant to fired consultant to multiple years of just disconnect, but trying to just follow the path. I had no idea it would shake out this way. And as you asked the question, I think about that. I could have never predicted it would go this way, but it did. And the Lord has honored this.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I just think it's so encouraging. Olivia, do you?
I mean, I don't want to say that I have much to add, but what you guys are saying reminds me a lot of in Ephesians. It talks about living a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And oftentimes that verse is used when you're thinking about your career and like, what is my calling? What is God wanting me to do with this one life? And in actuality, it doesn't really matter. It matters that whatever it is that you are doing, you're doing it to the set of values and standards that Christians are supposed to uphold, which is what you guys have illustrated. And so of the world, I mean, we've said this, I love business. And if I'm not careful, I can have a propensity to chase the sales, to chase the bottom line, to focus on the marketing, which are all good and wonderful things. I had someone who said, you know, there are a few gifts that you can steward for the kingdom as well as a business. Like, you can do so much, change so many lives if you steward a business correctly. But if you focus on the wrong things and you put your stock in the wrong place, then that is when the world comes in. And so just being mindful, live a life worthy of the calling you've received.
I love that. I love that verse. So I want y'all to just take a minute here each as we try to wrap up. I want to honor our time here. Gosh, this is so good. I could keep going, couldn't you? That's good. What are some of the ways that you see God at work in the marketplace, and how has He put you in a place to be salt and light?
I have a specific example. So in Path for Growth, one of our core values is point to Jesus, and we are not shy about sharing that core value to anybody and everybody. And for whatever reason, we have a large following of Orthodox Jewish community members as Path for Growth members, and they can't get enough of us. And they're like, ah, yeah, that Jesus thing, we'll look past it because, and I personally work one-on-one with a gentleman in that community. And he is the stereotypical work himself ragged, puts his stock in all of the wrong things, and then goes to temple and prays and starts it all over again. And I was talking to him and I was like, you know, Simcha, you need to be able to say that your life is more than just the business, the work that you do. And he's like, yeah, you're right, you're right. And so long story short, I'd love to read you something. So he went off and he started working on a personal mission statement that he wrote. He says, I exist to show up intentionally every day in the things that matter most so that I can be a steward for what's possible and a loving example to those around me. And that's like the closest this man has ever gotten to acknowledging that grace is even remotely part of a conversation. And it's hard to summarize a person's growth and experience in a minute long answer in a panel, but trust me, like the growth that he's had in a year just by being in a relative vicinity of the gospel has changed his heart and how he looks at people, not as cogs in a wheel, but as people he needs to connect with. And so I think that that's something that I'm constantly trying to remind myself that yes, we're coaching business. I do want to see him have an ROI in that, but that's not the end game.
I love that.
Well, and I was going to say for a salt and light standpoint, the challenges that naturally occur in business are the opportunity for us to respond in a salt-like fashion and with light. So when our company got destroyed by the tornado that came through Nashville 3 years ago, we had to make a decision. Are we going to be fearful? Are we going to retreat? Are we going to encourage each other to more things, to have bigger faith? And so just how you handle, not that everybody gets hit by a tornado. There are little tornadoes that happen every day and every week. And so just responding to those little things and the big things and how you respond to that is observable faith or lack thereof. Mm. And we must be mindful of that.
Yes. Yes. That's good.
That's pretty good. I know you're out of time, so I'm good.
I think one of the things that I heard recently that is really resonating with me is that in most places in our marketplace, the gospel needs to be seen before it can be heard. And what I'm, you know, hearing from this panel is what a great way to go through all the hard stuff, flesh it out, live out, deal with those hard decisions, and just to see how God has kind of worked through you guys and in you guys. Such an encouragement. Would y'all help me thank them? Yeah. As promised, we're going to finish on time. There's 2 minutes, and I would like to just thank everybody for being here. If you have anything you want to talk about, feel free. I know that there's a bunch of people around here who love to hang around and talk to you. Can I just pray for you as we get ready to leave today? Heavenly Father, you are, as Bill said, you are a big God. You are all powerful. You are all knowing. You are sovereign. You're a God of providence. You have a plan. Your word tells us that nothing can thwart the plans of God. And so, Lord, we humbly come to you today and we just want to say thank you for letting us be a part of the team that you've created in this marketplace, the team that's doing business, accomplishing your purposes, serving the needs of the communities and the cities. Lord, help us to be your representatives. Lord, there are people out there that just need you. They're broken. And just as we've talked about here, that the idea that there's lostness and there is lifelessness everywhere around us. But Lord Jesus, we ask you to do these things as we go today. Number one, Father, would you just grant favor to every person in here and their business? Would you just grant them favor and success? And at the same time, Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to the opportunities for the doors that you open for the word, for the gospel. Let us be faithful to walk through those doors. And finally, Lord, I pray that you would just fill us with the Holy Spirit, and that we would be so caught up in the vision of being able to serve you and serve the purposes in our marketplace that you have designed. Oh God, go with us. We pray this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless. Have a great day.